Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Ches. This is the second to last Daf in this unbelievable Masechta. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Sidney Davidson and Linda Pinsky, Zahava Rivka Bas Gedalia Vishalamis. All the Nishmas we learn from Aliyah from our learning. Okay, these are long Dafim, so we'll jump right into it. We begin on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amid Beis with the words, quoting the Mishnah, two lines on the bottom, Mem Zayin Amid Beis, quoting the Mishnah, Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hevir Hodoya Samaisa V'chula. The Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the one that stopped doing the Vidui Maaser, as we had explained yesterday in the Shir. Now, my time, why? Why did he stop doing this? So I'm Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, Rav Yossi, who is the son of Rav Chanina, said, Lefisha ain nosdin oso kitikuno, because no longer were we giving it the way it's prescribed, which is that you're supposed to give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi, you're allowed to give it to the Kohen, but what Yochanan Kohen Gadol did was he required you not to give it to the Levi, and instead to only give it to the Kohen. The Rachman Omar, the Torah tells us, the Yavi Levi, that the proper way to give Maaser Rishon is to give it to the Levi, albeit you're also allowed to give it to the Kohen, we turn to Mechesav and Aleph, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was Vanan, he changed it, he required them to give it to the Kohanim, as Rashi tells us in the top Rashi, this was a Knas, the Kansinu Ezra. Ezra made a Knas in Levi'im because they didn't return at the time of Ba'isheni, as Gemara Yevamos tells us, to keep them the Eina Nostin Kisiklan, since we no longer give it the way the Torah prescribed that we should. So we can't follow the words of the pasuk that says that we do the vidui maaser, that we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, because they changed it to not give it to the Levi, but instead to give it to the Kohen. So Gemara says, okay, so just don't say that part of the vidui maaser, v'lo de ashar maisos. So just say the rest of the maisos that we take off. We take off truma, we take off maaser sheni, or maaser ani, depending on the year. In the first, second, fourth and fifth years, we take off Maaser Sheni, and in the third and in the sixth year, we take off Maaser Ani. Of course, nothing is taken off in the Shemitah year. There is no Trumas and Maaser then. So why don't we at least say that we do the Hodos Maaser, the Vidui Maaser, and all the others other than Maaser Rishon? So Rish Lakish says we can't. Om Rish Lakish, kol bayis, she'ein misvada al Maaser Rishon, shuv ein misvada al shar Maaser. So if you're not able to say the Maaser Rishon, Vidui, then you can't say the others. Why not? My time up. After all, they don't seem to be connected. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Abayi, hol pasach ba'akos of tchila, since that's what the Torah starts off with. When the Pesukim tell us that Biarti is a Kodesh min Abayis, and I gave it to the Levi, Nesativ la Levi. So therefore, we can't say that, so then we can't say the rest of it. Okay. Now, Mechlal diafrushe havum afrushe. That implies that the people would go and take the Maaser Rishon, but they wouldn't give it to Levi. Well, Tanya, but we learn in the following Braisa, Afu Bitel Savidui, Yochanan Kohen Gadol said that we don't have to do the Vidui Maaser, and as well, the Gozer al Adumai, and he said that we take from the Amaratzim, we always have to take off Maaser, Trumas, and Maasos al Sofek, Lefisha Sholach Mekul Voisrael, because he sent out his Shlichim to all the parts of Klai Yisrael to see if they were taking off the Maisos and Truma as they were supposed to. And he saw, Verah, Shein Mafrishin, they saw that the people, the common people, the Amaratzim, were not taking off the Trumas and Maisos, only Ela Truma Gedola, Bilvat. They only took off the original Truma Gedola, which a average person takes off a 50th, a very generous person takes off a 40th, a stingy person takes off the 60th, but technically, if you just take off one kernel, that can fulfill the obligation of Truma Gedola. And since they associated Misa, this Misa Bidei Shemayim, if you eat Tevel, which has Truma inside of it, so even the Amaratzim were careful to do this. So therefore, he saw that they are only being Mafrish Elo Truma Gedola Bavad. They saw, however, Umayser Rishon, Umayser Sheni, and of course, Maaser Ani in those third and sixth years, Miktsasim Asrin, some did, albeit that's the majority, but Miktsasim, even though it's the minority, Ein Asrin, we're not taking off Trumas and Maasers. And therefore, Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, Amalem, to all the people, you think that you're doing the right thing? But now, he said, my children, Bo of Amalechem, go and tell everybody, Kishem She Truma Gedola, Yesh Bohe, Bo Abon Misa, Kach Trumas Maaser, Vitevel, Yesh Ben Abon Misa. You think that it's only if you have Tevel, and you don't take off Truma Gedola, and then you eat the Tevel, so then that gives you Misa B'dei Shemayim, Chas V'Shalom. But if you take off the Truma Gedola, there is no Tevel left, and it's not called Tevel, and you don't get Misa B'dei Shemayim, that's not true. If you have taken off Truma Gedola, so what remains behind, you still have to take off Maaser Rishon from it, and then that Maaser Rishon has Trumas Maaser in it, a tenth of a tenth, that you have to go and give to the Levi, and the Levi has to give it to the Kohen. And if you don't do that, it's still called Tevel, and you chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim. So therefore, Omar v'hiskelem, therefore, since they weren't doing this, or there was a chashash that a small percentage of the people weren't doing this, so he got up and he was masaking the following din of Dumai. And he said, anybody who purchases from an Am HaAretz who's choshed on not taking off Trumas and Maisers, halokeach peres mi Am HaAretz, mafrish mehen Maiser Rishon or Maiser Sheni. You have to go and be mafrish from them. You don't have to be concerned about Truma Gedola, that they took off. But when you purchase stuff from them, you have to go and be concerned that they didn't take off the Truma from the Maiser Rishon, because they didn't really take off Maiser Rishon. So they didn't take off the Trumas Maiser, they didn't take off Maiser Rishon, and they didn't take off either Maiser Sheni or Maiser Ani, depending on the year. So what do? You're mafrish from what they get from them, Maiser Rishon, so you take off a tenth, but you don't have to give it to the Levi, because I'm not to be chaver all of a riot. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. So you tell to the Levi, and there's no issa for Yisrael to eat Maiser Rishon. And therefore, you can tell the Levi, prove to me that the Trumas and Maisers weren't taken from this, and then I'll give it to you. So Maiser Rishon, they would be mafrish, mimena, Trumas Maiser, but they would have to take off the Trumas Maiser. They would take off a tenth of this tenth, and that they would give to the Kohen, Minosa Lekohen, because there's a suffix, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, if you were to eat Truma, so then that's a real problem. So that's real tevel, midaraisa, so therefore, they would take off the Trumas Maiser from the Maiser Rishon. They wouldn't give the rest, the 9/10 of that, they wouldn't give to the Levi, but the 1/10 they would give to the Kohen, and as well, they would take the Maiser Sheni, or Maiser Sheni, Olav Ochav Yushalayim, and they would go and eat it in Yushalayim. That's not a problem either. No loss to them. And Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani, if it was a year for Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani, so again, the Trumas Maiser they would take off, the Maiser Ani, they would say to the Ani, they would say to the Levi, Hamotzi Mechaver, Olav Araya, prove to me that there was no Maiser Rishon taken off, prove to me there was no Maiser Ani taken off, and then it's yours. Otherwise, we'll leave things the way they are. Hamotzi Mechaver, if you want to take from me, you have to bring the Raya. Otherwise, it stays where it is. And therefore, that is what Yochanan Kohen Gadol said to do. Why don't we say the same thing by the Trumas Maiser, let the Kohen prove that it wasn't taken off so you could sell it to the Kohen? So here the rabbis were concerned that if you go and sell it to the Kohen, so people may come to keep it and then by accident eat it. And that would be potentially a suffix of eating Truma, and that's a real big problem. So therefore the rabbi said, just give it to the Kohen, don't say to the Kohen, and I'll sell it to you, but I'm not going to give it to you. In any event, the Gemara says, here you see that Yochanan Kohen Gadol said that you do have to take off Trumas Maiser. So Gemara says, Tarti Tike, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol actually made two separate takanos. First of all, he was bitul vidui the chaverei. He said that the chaverim don't even do the vidui maisa because the chaverim, who we have no chashash that they take off all the trumas and maisas, but they weren't doing it the way it was originally designed to give the maisa rishon to the lady because that was the knas of Ezra. So he was mavato for the chaverim that they don't say the vidui maisa. And if you can't say I gave it to the lady, then we don't say any of it. And then he made a second gezerah for the Amoratzim, because of the Mai, Shalami Ha'aretz, since there was a chashash that a portion of them, a minority of them, weren't taking off the Maiser Rishon, the Trumas Maiser from the Maiser Rishon, and not taking off Maiser Sheni and or Maiser Ani in the respective years. Therefore, he made a separate gezerah that you have to be choshish for this, and when you take from Amoratzim, you always have to take off Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani, each in their respective years. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, V'afu biti lasa ma'orin. We said that Yochanan Kohen Gadol also stopped this ma'orin. What is this ma'orin? My ma'orin? So Amar Rachva, Rachva was one of the Amoraim, he said, B'chol yom v'yom she'omdim levim al duchan, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the levim would stand on the duchan, on the platform, and they would sing various shiros. And one of them was the Tehillim, V'omrim ura loma si shan Hashem. They said to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochu, you're sleeping, wake up Hashem. Now, this obviously Hashem doesn't sleep. He lo yum lo yishan. As Amal Lahem, Yochanan Kohen Gadol said to them, the chiyei shina lefnei hamakom, v'alu kvar nemar, hinei lo yum lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. He knows everything that's going on. That was what Eliyahu in Har Carmel, he told the Nevi'i HaBaal. He said, oh, maybe your God is sleeping. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never sleeps. He knows everything that's going on. So therefore, what does it mean, this pasuk, ura lo mosishan Hashem? It was in times of trouble for Klai Yisrael. El, bizman shi Yisrael shruyim bitzar, when Nebuch, Klai Yisrael, was being persecuted, and the Goyim, they seem to be living high on the hog. The Goyim are doing well, and we're in a lot of trouble. So we would say, Kaviyocho to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please wake up from allowing us to be persecuted. Lekach Nemar, Ura, Lo Masishan Hashem, why are you, Kaviyocho, sleeping Hashem, and allowing the Goyim to persecute us and give us troubles? Now, this is appropriate to say in times of Tzara, but when the Beis HaMikdash was in the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Baruch Hashem, Jewish people were a relatively quiet period of time. They weren't being persecuted. They weren't being attacked so much. And therefore, there were people that were saying, when the Levim said, Ula, Allah, Messiah, Shana, Hashem, had nothing to do with the Mokum Tsar, a time of Tsar for the Jewish people. It must be that they said that Hashem was sleeping. So therefore, to prevent this terrible, terrible misunderstanding that Hashem could be sleeping, so therefore, he stopped the Levim from saying this. That's what Bitel Esama Orim means. Those that were saying to Hashem, Ura, Allah, Messiah, Shana, Hashem, he stopped them from saying that capital. Then it said as well, he stopped them from doing the Esa Nokvim. What is the Nokvim? So my Nokvim. So I'm reviewed on Rishul. Rishul said, This is what the Nokvim were. When they would go bring an animal for a carbon, sometimes the animal resisted being shechted. So what would they do? They would go and cut the animal, the egla, the egel, in between its eyes, and the blood would drip down and go and blind the animal, and it would be difficult for the animal to see. It would easily allow itself to be put down, and they could shecht it much more easily. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped this. Also, iu batil, why mishum de mechzer ki muma? It looked like the people were making a mum in the animal, and they were chas v'shalom bringing an animal with a mum onto the mizbeach, which of course is not allowed. So he stopped it from doing this practice of misartin le'egel bein kainav, in between the horns. He said between the eyes. It means in between the horns. They would make this cut, so above the eyes, and it would drip down into their eyes and blind them to make it easier for their shechtim. So he stopped doing that because it looked like it was a mum. Another possibility for what this nokvim was, the masnisa tana, we learned in the following brisa, shechoftin also b'maklos, they would go and give a zetz to the head of this animal, also in order to make it easy to shecht, it would be stunned, and they would then be able to easily shecht it. And this was kederesh osin also, l'pnei avodis kochan, this was the goyim used to do before they would go and sacrifice their animals to the idols. So the Jews, unfortunately, tried to learn from that and say, we should do the same thing. And Amalam, so Yochanan Kohen Gadol told to them, admasa etem machilin nevelos l'mizbeach, as a result, you're causing a nevela, which means an animal that dies on its own, to be one of the mizbeach. Or it says, but they didn't just kill it that way. Nevelos? Why are you telling me that they made it into a nevela? Hoshachalu. They would hit the animal on the head, but then they would do shechita. So it's not a nevela. So it says, yeah, it didn't mean it was a nevela. El trefos. That there was a concern that they were given a zetz on the head, and they would actually go and make the animal into one of the trefos of cutting the either the pia mater or the dura mater, the various membranes that surround the brain. And therefore, if you cut those, the animal's a trefa. Elo, in this situation, Shemanikev Krum Shamach, they might have cut the surrounding membranes, the Piamata, the Duramata, that surround the brain, and therefore that was the concern. And the same thing, Mishum de Mechzel Kimuma, it looks like they were possibly sacrificing an animal that had a mum, and therefore he stopped these two processes, either the first one that Reuven Mishul said, that they would cut the animal between the horns and drip the blood into the eye, or they would give it his zets on the head with a stick in order, both of them were to make the animal easier to shecht. So what did he do to make the animals easier to shecht? So the Braisa continues, Amar b'hiskan lem tabos b'karka. He made the rings that they would put into the ground. They would put the animal into those rings, and it would be much easier to shecht the animal, immobilize the animal, and this way they would shecht the animal very easily. Gemara continues quoting the Mishnah. It says, "Ad yomav hayo patish makib Yerushalayim al halamoid." They would allow the banging of the hammer on the anvil to do various types of works. It was a davar obid. So this was done b'chalo shomayit. This was allowed on halamoid for davar nevad. But as I pointed out, we did the Mishnah. Rashi brings down the people that were far away would hear this and they would know that it was a davar obid, and they would think you're allowed to do this on halamoid. And therefore, he stopped it entirely in Yerushalayim, even though it's technically mutter. He stopped it to prevent this takala. And then we quote the Mishnah the last time, called Yomav lo Yadam Tzorech Lishol al Admai. In his time, nobody had to ask the Yama Aretz, did you take off Shumas and Maisers or not? Because Kedam Aren, as we had already said, he made a takana that you always have to take off Al Sofek when you purchase from an Yama Aretz. You always have to take off Maiser Rishon, Shumas Maiser from it, and either Maiser Sheni or Maiser Ani, depending on the year that you purchased it. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Mishnah bought the Sanhedrin when the Sanhedrin Nebuch stopped being in existence 40 years before the end of the Beis HaMikdash. So at that point in time, Mishnah bought the Sanhedrin, so Botal Hashir mi Beis HaMishkos. The rabbis would go there that you're no longer allowed to sing at places where there was a Beis Mishnah. This is a reference usually to a wedding or other places where wine was served. So they abolished, they prevented you from singing if there was wine being present. Tomorrow we'll go through this. Now I will start off here and say there's a lot of things here that seems to go against established practices. How do we sing at weddings? How do we sing at various types of events where wine is served? How do we sing at events where wine is not served? So nobody should learn any halacha or ma'aseh from what we're saying. However, we should realize and appreciate that too much lightheadedness and too much frivolity is certainly not something that should be allowed since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to be careful about this. What the practical nafkamina of how we're allowed to sing various songs and how we're allowed to listen to music and how we're allowed to go and act in ways that seem to be against this Gemara. So one really has to delve into the sugya, which we're not going to do, and learn the halacha lemaisa. But we should certainly pick up from here and understand that the excessive amount of music, singing, and lightheadedness that can come along with this, certainly in a party where the wine is being served, is something that the rabbis were very, very much against since Nebuch, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Behar Rimeinu, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and then we can go back to the way it was beforehand. Now, the Mishnah tells us that this Batel Shir Mi Beis HaMishtos is based upon the Pasuk Shenemar, Bashir Lo Yishtu Yoyin V'Gomer. The Pasuk tells us that they weren't, the pasuk from Yeshaya, that in the shear they shouldn't have, that when they're drinking wine, yemar shechor lishosa, that they should have wine over there for the people that drink it. Now, we will see from the Gemara, they'll bring another source that we know that this has to do with Misha Batla Sanhedrin. All this does is tells us they shouldn't have this anymore, but how do we know this is with Misha Batla Sanhedrin? Then we'll bring another pasuk from Eicha to show us that. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, Misha Meisu Neviim HaRishonim, Nebuch, when the Neviim HaRishonim died, this, the Gemara will explain, is any Navi that comes before the end of the Neviim, the Neviim HaRishonim, which is Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So, at the conclusion of the Neviim Rishonim period of time, Batlu Urim V'Tumim. So this also teaches us that at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, there no longer was an Urim V'Tumim. The Gemara will discuss this and question this in a number of different ways as well. Nebuch Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, likewise, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Batul HaShamir, the Shamir, which was a special insect that was created, Maisa Bereshis, and which Shlomo HaMelech captured from Ashmadoi. We'll learn this in the next Masechta in Gittin, when we learn this in Gittin. So the Shamir was an amazing creature that Shlomo HaMelech captured, and we'll have a very interesting story how that was done. So this Shamir no longer was in existence, and the Gemara will discuss this more in detail. Likewise, Vinovet Suf, a very, very beautiful, thick type of a honey, no longer was in existence, and the Gemara will discuss this as well. Furthermore, Opasku Anshi Amona Miyisrael, and Nebuch, there were no longer these Anshi Amona. Anshi Amona, Rashi tells us over here, is people that were Botkin Bakodesh Baruch Hu. They were truly reliant upon HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Sobchin of love, and they relied upon HaKodesh Baruch Hu for everything. Lasus Tov, to do anything good for them, being dog in Lechisaron, and they had no worries that they wouldn't have their needs taken care of. They truly believed, Poseach HaSyodecho must be a Lechol Chai Ratzon. And Nebuch, those people who had such complete Amuna in HaKodesh Baruch Hu, no longer existed. And this is based upon another pasuk, Nehemiah, Hoshia Hashem ki gomar chosid v'gomer. The end of that pasuk is, Hoshia Hashem ki gomar chosid ki pasu emunim mibnei odam. Because those people that were truly maminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer existed. So we bemoan that fact, Hashem should shave us, there no longer are such people in the world. Mishnah continues and tells us, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the name of Yeshua, this is Stam Rabbi Yeshua, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, mi yom shechor beis hamikdash, from the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, nebuch ein yom she'ein bo klala. The day doesn't go by, and it actually gets worse, the Mepharshim say, that we don't have curses, nebuch, because we don't have the beis hamikdash to protect us. Furthermore, v'lo yorad ha'tal v'racha, the tal which comes down every day, no longer has the same bracha that it had previously during the times of the beis hamikdash. And furthermore, v'nital tam ha'peros, and the unbelievable good taste, and the good nutritious value of the peros, no longer is present as well. Furthermore, Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi tells us, Afni tal shuman haperos, even the extra special goodness of the peros, their nutritious value, was removed as well. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he adds, Hatara, the Gemara will explain, Rashi will explain, that when Tahara left the world, when people weren't as tar, so then Notlo es hatam v'esarech, so then that also caused the tam to be taken away. The Mesosa Shah says, he deletes the word hatam v'esarech, he says, the reach of the fruits went away. The tam was already taken away earlier, according to the other Tanoim. Maestros, when people stop taking off chumas and maestros properly, notlu es shumon hadogar. So again, all the nutritious benefits of the grain also were taken away. Giving from these things, these presents, to others by being good people, so then they had a higher gashmias level. And when they sunk on this spiritual level, Hashem also took away certain levels of gashmias as well. The Chacham Romrim has nusfak shofim. The Chacham say it was because of the immorality and because of our participating in shofim in various types of black magic, which had certain kaychats in those days, kilu asakol. That was brought basically the end to everything. And the Gemara will discuss this in more detail. Gemara starts off and says, "We may the Misha Batlo Sanhedrin Ksiv." How do we know that you weren't allowed to sing at these mishtos with wine? How do we know that that was instituted when the Sanhedrin was taken away? Incidentally, the Rav on the Mishnayos tells us that the word Sanhedrin is a beautiful mnemonic. It means Sone, that's the San, Sone Hadras Ponim Bedin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to them as Sanhedrin because they were people that hated any inappropriate actions on the part of the judges. In other words, they didn't give credence to the fact that this guy was a powerful guy, this was a Talmud Chacham, even this guy was a wealthy guy. They treated everybody exactly the same. didn't depend who the litigants were. They looked at just the cold din and didn't look at the participants in the litigation. So that's what Sanhedrin means. Beautiful, Ralph. Anyway, Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Shur, he tells us, this is a pasuk in Echad, the Amar Krav. The pasuk there tells us, the Canaan Mishar Shavasu, the Zakanim are no longer there, and Bahurim Minigin Osam, and the young people no longer play their music. So at these types of events, where there was previously music, so now, Nebuch, when the elders are gone, when the Zakanim Mishar Shavasu, there's no longer Sanhedrin, so then we no longer allowed to play music at these Mishtos. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Udna, an ear, Udna and Ozen, the Dal and Zayin interchangeable. Udna Dishama Zimra Teoker. If in fact you hear music at these times, so then you should be uprooted. It's not a good idea. Amar Rava Rava adds further, Zimra Bevesa. If you have music in your house, Churba Besifa. It's going to destroy the Sifa. Rashi tells us the Sifa is the threshold of the house, and it will be destroyed. Maskipos Habayis. It's from the threshold, the entranceway into the house, and from the beginning of the house, that's where all this destruction will occur. And this is based upon a pasuk from Sfanya, Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Kol Yishora B'chalon," there will be a voice singing in the window. Chorev Basaf, it will start a destruction in the threshold, Basaf. And then it tells us, Ki Arzo Era, because the city is made out of cedar wood. So the first part of the pasuk we just explained. The Gemara asks, "My ki arzo era." What does it mean that the city is cedar wood? So Amar of Yitzchok explains. He darshens it. Bayis hamesuvach. That's the girsa that we have. A house that is in the middle, besuvach ba'arazim, that is surrounded by cedar trees. Iru, is that a city? Others have the girsa. Bayis hamesukach. A house that has schach on the top of it, that is made out of arazim. Is that going to be as strong as a city? No, it will not be. Ella, afilu, bayis hamesuvach bi'arazim, and even a city, a house that is enclosed or walled with cedar wood, misroa, it will be destroyed if they play music over there. It won't protect you. Amar Ravashi, Ishmael, we see from this, ki maschil churva, when the destruction begins, besifa maschil, it begins at the threshold, as we just said, shenemar, choreb basat, it begins at the sat, at the opening into the house. Alternatively, you could learn out that it begins at the Saf from the following pasuk. And here's a pasuk from Yeshaya where it says, Ushia, destruction or desertion, Yukas Shah, will be at the gate of the city. And Amar Marba Ravashi, Ledidi Chazile, I myself saw this, and that I once saw a shade that was destroying a house that was empty, Umnageach Kituret. It was goring this house like a ox that was going crazy. So therefore, we see this idea that it destroys from the beginning of the house. I think the word Ushia also is a lashon that we use in Nach, that we have the Shoah, a destruction, a terrible, terrible destruction. That's one of the reasons, I believe, that the Shoah was called the Shoah, because of these words from Tanakh that would describe Shia as a terrible destruction, an emptiness, a desertion. Margatino says, Amar Rav Huna, Zimra, the songs that the Nagde are the people, Rashi tells us, they go and pull a boat. They used to have sometimes people with ropes that were standing on the banks of the river that were pulling the boats in the shallow water. So they would be singing songs. This was very heavy work. So Moshe Svinos, these people that were pulling the boats, Bechebel with a rope, Shari, they would sing, She'eno Ella Lezarze Mimlachtam. That was to help them go and do this heavy work. Likewise, Udebakare, Rashi tells us that they would be singing over here at the time that they would be plowing. This was somehow beneficial. L'chavinis ha-shvorim l'tlameyam. The oxen would plow better if this music was being sung. Shehochin l'kol hashir d'arivalim. Somehow the oxen liked these songs. So these songs, which were not done for pleasure, the people that needed this, like marching music, to go and help them pull the boats, and the oxen would be able to plow better, so that type of music is permissible, Rav Huna tells us. However, the gardoi, the music that the weavers would play, that was not necessary for the weaving work. As Rashi says, ein oel l'schok, that was purely for just having some music in the background, and that was not allowed. And therefore, that music was osir. That was not allowed. Rav Huna, batil zimra. Rav Huna also prevented them from listening to music. Rashi says that not only did he do what they'd done previously in the Beis HaMishtos, but shelo yizamru bivateim, even didn't allow it in their own houses, never mind at the weddings. So, what happened during his time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, because they were so strict upon the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not to be so frivolous, so the prices went down. A person could purchase 100 geese, bezuza, for just one zuz. Very, very inexpensive. And likewise, a person could purchase 100 saw, a large volume of wheat, bezuzah, also for azuz. In other words, the prices were very, very, very low, and even as low as they were, below buy, nobody wanted to even buy it at that price because it was so plentiful. In other words, there was a tremendous bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael because Rav Huna was gozer these gezeros, l'shem nebuch, the remembrance of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. However, his Talmud Chaver Rav Chisda came along and ultimately saw that this was difficult for the people, and also Rav Chisda and Zilzel Bey. Rashi says, "Lo hikpid limchos biyodav." When people would play music, he didn't protest it. So therefore, pretty soon, everybody was playing music again like they were beforehand, and it turned out that the prices went up tremendously. Ibaya avza bezuzah. Now, instead of 100 geese being able to be purchased for azuz, one goose cost azuz, and even at that very expensive price, lo mishtakach, it wasn't easy to get them, they were scarce. So you can see, when they followed these mornings for the Beis HaMikdash, there was tremendous plenty and bounty. But Nebuch, when they stopped it, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu let things go back to the way they were, and there was tremendous inflation, and you couldn't even purchase things at a very expensive price. Our Rav Yossi continues and tells us, Rav Yossi said, Zomre Gavre V'Ani Noshi. If men go and sing, and the women respond to them, that is a terrible thing, pritzusa, because the men and the women are singing together. Albeit, it's not as bad as the next thing, which is when the women sing first, zamri noshi, the women sing first, so the men have to follow along, so they follow and sing the chorus, vani gabri, ke'esh bin oris. That is going to cause a conflagration. That is going to cause a fire, like fire spark amongst the flax that will go, and everything will go up in flames very fast. So, while it's bad, it's pritzus, if the men sing first and the women respond, so the men aren't paying as much attention to the women, but they're still hearing the women, and that's called Isha's Erva, Rashi tells us, but it's not as bad as if the women sing first and the men have to listen carefully to know when they're supposed to chime in, and therefore that is going to be a conflagration. Nu, why do we have to know this? Both are asur, l'may nafkamina. So the Gemara tells us a very important idea. Levatule ha mikame ha. As Rashi says, im ein shomim lanu levatul shneim. Sometimes the rabbis can't erase a bad practice, but if they try to erase it all, they won't be successful. So at least, nachdim levatel ezeh shukeish binoris. If they're not going to be successful in eradicating all the mixed singing, so at least work very hard on eradicating the singing that's worse. The keish binoris singing where the women are singing first and the men are paying close attention to them, that's even worse than if the women are singing after the men sang because they won't pay as close attention to it. Both are usher, both are wrong. Don't get the Gemara wrong. However, if you're not able to go and nullify both amongst the Amaratzim, so at least go for the best that you can. Levatuli ha mikamiha. Go and nullify this far worse activity, and then work on the other one, Be'etz Hashem, the next time. Rav Yochanan tells us, Chalashosa bi'arba minei zemer, if anybody drinks wine, Shosa means to drink wine, while they're listening to these four types of musical instruments, so that's going to be terrible destruction to the world. Maybe chamesh paronios liolam. It will bring five terrible destructions to the world, which the Gemara will now outline. Shenemar, and this is based upon the pasuk. We have a pasuk from Yeshaya that tells us, "Hoi mashkime v'boker." Woe to those people that get up early in the morning, shecha yodofu, and they're going to drink wine or beer. Miachre v'neshef yayin yalikim, and those that stay up late at night, they want to drink more wine. So it's going to lead to a terrible problem. V'hoyo kinor v'nevel. Tof v'chalil, though these four instruments, the kinar, which is a harp, so it's translated, the nevel is the lyre, tof is the drum, and a chalil is a flute, the yayin mishteyem, the eis polishem lo yabitu. And the drinking, when they're listening to these instruments, they're drinking wine at their parties, and they don't think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then the end of the pasuk tells us, they don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's out of the picture, so it's going to lead to terrible five things. As it tells us in the very next pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, what's the next pasuk telling us? If they do this, if they listen to these four instruments and drink wine, and they don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the five terrible paronius, these five calamities will occur. So the first one is, we will go be exiled out of our not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with das. Shegormim golus l'olam. We're going to cause golus to come to the world. The Jewish people will be exiled. The next one, number two, ukvodo misei rov. All the people that were should be mechuba, they're going to die. Shemivin rov l'olam. Because, number two, the paranius is going to be that there's going to be famine in the world. Rov l'olam. Number three, vamono tzichei tzoma. And everybody's going to be dying of thirst. And what does this mean? We always have tzame, thirsty, hoy tzame, l'chula mayim, it means to go for Torah. Shagorm l'torah, shetachach milomdeh. People won't be able to learn Torah. Then, number four, v'yishach odom, v'yishpal ish. So, the people are going to be very humble, v'yishach odom, and man will be brought down even lower. What does this mean? Shagorim shiflus l'sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is going to cause a degrading of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is another euphemism over here. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be considered by the world, he's not powerful. The Jews don't really have a powerful God. God can't save the Jewish people. We're stronger than God. Rachmana litzlan, all these terrible things that people will say. And how do we know that this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because ve'ein ish el HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenemar Hashem ish mulchava. So this is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol is being degraded by our sins. And the fifth and final paranius is ve'einei givoim tish palma, that the people that were lofty, the Jewish people, will be brought down to a very humble position. Shegorim shiflus shal Yisrael. It's going to cause Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael to be degraded in the eyes of the world. Now, what did it say after that? If you go and do all of these things that we're not supposed to do, listening to the music and drinking wine, so Lachain, the Pasuk tells us, also from Yeshaya, and we turn to Memchesam with Beis, Hirchiva Sha'ol Nafsha, the Gehenim, so to say, opened up, Sha'ol's Gehenim, has opened up its mouth, big appetite, Ufara Pia, and it opens up its mouth wide, Livli chok, without any limit, v'yorad hadora v'hamona u'sha'ona v'olezba. And all of the glory of Klai Yisrael will go down there, rachmona litzlan, to the people that are drinking wine at these musical instrumentation in the background once the base of Jesus was destroyed and the Sanhedrin was bought. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Mishem Esa Nevi'im Rishonim. When the Nevi'im Rishonim died, so the Urim V'Tumim no longer existed. Who are these Nevi'im Rishonim? My Nevi'im Rishonim. So the first thing Gemara wants to suggest that this is Amar Rav Huna. Now the Girsa that we have is that David Ushmuel Ushlomo, and the Sos Hashas changes it around to say Shmuel V'David, because that's the right order. And it doesn't have Shlomo. It's not clear that Shlomo was a Navi, so some don't include Shlomo in this. But in any event, this is David Ushmuel Ushlomo. Fine. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar, Bimei David, Zimnin Solik, Zimnin Lo Solik. During already the times of David HaMelech, the Urim V'Tumim sometimes worked and sometimes it didn't. And this is a famous story that occurred during the days of David HaMelech, when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, so he wanted to know, what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from him? So he asked the Urim V'Tumim. He asked the Urim V'Tumim originally in the name of the Kohen Gadol, Ebyasar. But Ebyasar wasn't answered. So then he had a regular Kohen, Tzadok, go, and this is all over here in Rashi. So the regular Kohen went, Tzadok, and asked him, and the Urim V'Tumim answered him. So David saw that Ebyasar was no longer worthy to be the Kohen Gadol, and instead Tzadok was to take over as the Kohen Gadol, and that's exactly what happened. So sometimes they were answered, by Ebyasar they were not, by Tzadok they were, and Sha'rei Sha'al Tzadok V'Olsolo, as the Gemara tells us, Sha'al Tzadok, so Tzadok asked the Urim V'Tumim, Ba'olsolo, and the Urim V'Tumim answered him, Shal Evyasar V'Olsolo, but when Evyasar asked, he wasn't answered, and that's what it says, Shenema Vayal Evyasar, he was taken away, he went up, no longer to be the Kohen Gadol, and he wasn't answered, and therefore David took it away from him. Masad Rabbi Bar Shmuel asked the following Shaila, but the Pasuk continues, and it tells us in Divrei Yamin, and it tells us there, by he lidrosh Elokim, now we have the Gersa Kol Yimei, but it should be Bimei Zechaya Hamevin Biros Ha Elokim. That's the right Gersa. This is a reference to the Melech Uziyahu, who was originally very good, and he would ask Zechaya, who was the son of Yehoyada, Rashi tells us. Others disagree. In any event, this Zechaya was a great Kohen Gadol, and Uziyahu would go and ask him what he should do. And Mistama, how did the Kohen Gadol go and answer? Wasn't it the Urim V'Tumim? Now, this lived well after the time of David and Shlomo and Shmuel. So, my lab, the Urim V'Tumim, didn't he go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bahi Lidrosh Elokim? Now, this is well after, as I just said, David and Shlomo. So, doesn't that mean that the Urim V'Tumim is still around? My lab, the Urim V'Tumim, didn't he ask the Urim V'Tumim? So, Gemara says, no. Uziyahu asked Zechariah, but not through the Urim V'Tumim, Ella B'Neviim, or others have the Girsa of B'Neviyus. So he asked them, no, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want, but through Nevius, but not through the Urim V'Tumim. So that's not a raya, that the Nevi'im Rishonim are not David, Shmuel, and Shlomo. Okay, now, the Gemara continues, Toshma, let's bring a raya, that the Urim V'Tumim were around much after David, Shmuel, and Shlomo were gone. Because Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Braisa tells us, at the end of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Batlu Ore Migrash, the Levium cities, the Ore Migrash that the Levium had, that they had to have a space around them for beauty, and they were also Ore Miklat, all 48 of the Levium cities ultimately became Ore Miklat, so that was stopped. Upasku Urim V'Tumim, the Braisa says, Beferish, this is at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, that's when the Urim Tumah was taken away. Upasach Melech Beis David. That's the last time until Mashiach Tzikenu B'Hemenu comes that we had a Melech from Malchus Beis David. All the Melachim in the time of the Bayi Sheni either were from the Chashmonoim or they were slaves that rose and took over the Malchus. But there was no Melech in the second Beis Hamikdash that was from Malchus Beis David. But there is still descendants from Malchus Beis David. B'Hemenu Remenu, Mashiach Tzikenu will come and then we'll have Malchus Beis David again. So at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, that was the last king until Mashiach from Malchus Beis David. And if somebody's going to tell you, wasn't there kings in the second Beis Hamikdash from Malchus Beis David? Vim L'choshcha Adam Lomar, if a person were to whisper to you and tell you, well, Vayomer HaTirshasa Lohem, HaTirshasa, Rashi tells us both in Ezra, and as well in the Gemara in Kedushin, Rashi in Ezra tells us that HaTarshasha was Nehemiah ben Chachilaya. And why was he called that? Beniko Shemo HaTarshasha, Shetiru lo Chachamim Lishtos Yayin Nesach Shel Akum. He was the wine taster for the king, and he therefore was tasting Yayin Nesach. So he was given permission to do this because that was his job, and this was the permission that Chazal gave him to go, and the Isurim of Yayin Nesach didn't apply to him. Now, Vayomer HaTarshashalehem, Nehemiah told the people, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh kodashim, that the Kohanim who came up at the time of Bayi Sheni, they weren't allowed to eat from the Kodesh Kodashim, from Kodesh Kodashim, Ad Amod Kohen L'Urim L'Tumim. It says they wouldn't be able to go and eat until the Urim L'Tumim said that they were Kosher Kohanim. So any Kohen that didn't have a pure lineage to show that he was from the original Kohanim wouldn't be able to eat until the Urim L'Tumim said so. Doesn't that imply that there was an Urim L'Tumim? So that's what the word says. Im l'choshcha adam lomar. If somebody comes to tell you, he quotes this pasuk from Ezra that says that there is an urim v'tumim, or seems to say that there is an urim v'tumim. So go and tell him back. No, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. Emor lo, tell him ki adam sh'omer l'chaveru. This is equivalent to a person says to his friend that something will happen. Ad sheyichyu mesim, when the mesim come back, when this tchias mesim, when Eliyahu comes back, and he tells us the yavu Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben David comes. That's how we'll know the answer. But until then, we don't know the answer. So in other words, when this says that the Urim V'Tumim will have to go and tell you the answer, it meant that when Mashiach comes and we have the Urim V'Tumim again, then we'll know the answer. Are you a Kosher Kohen or not? But right now we do not. But in any way, this Brisa clearly shows that the Urim V'Tumim was around until the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, even if it wasn't present in the second Beis HaMikdash. How can you tell us that it was only around until the time of Shmuel, David, and Shlomo? So the Gemara says, El Omer Rebachman Yitzchak, you're right. The Nevi'im Rishonim are not Shmuel, David, and Shlomo. Who are the Nevi'im Rishonim? My Nevi'im Rishonim, Lafuke, as opposed to the Nevi'im Achronim, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So Lafuke, Mechagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the Achronim, Ninu. They were called the Nevi'im Achronim. Everybody before them was the Nevi'im Rishonim. Why were they called the Nevi'im Achronim? Because the Tanur Rabbanim, we have the famous Braisa that tells us, Mishameisu, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Nistalko, Ruach HaKodesh, Yisrael. There is no longer Nevi'is. There is no longer a Navi from that time and onwards. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that that was Keneged taking away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Chacham said, it's too hard for us. The Yetzer for Avodah Zarah is so hard for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, I'll take it away. In order to even the playing field, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also took away Nevuah at that point from Klal Yisrael. So Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael. And at their demise, the Nevi'im Achronim, Nistaku Ruach HaKadosh Yisrael, no longer is there Nevuah. However, even though there's no Nevuah, Yafa Pikein, nevertheless, Hayu Mishtamshim Bevasko, there was still some connectivity, so to say, with the Basko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ring out and say certain messages from Shemayim. That's a lower level than Nevuah, but still it's certainly something of great importance. The Gemara tells us as follows. Shepam Achas, once there was, Hayu Mesubim Balias Beis Guya Biericho, the rabbis were all gathering together. We find many instances in the Gemara where the rabbis got together and they stayed up in an attic or in a house until they could reconcile certain difficult times. For example, they stayed up in the house of Hananiah ben Chachinoy. They brought up 300 barrels of wine to go and reconcile all of the details that we just read, for example, in yesterday's Haftorah on Parshas Emor. So all of the details where it seems to be arguing with what's in the Sefer Torah. So they wanted to originally be Gonei's Sefer Yecheskel because we couldn't understand what it was telling us about the Kohanim. This seems to be different than the halachas of the Kohanim, so able to reconcile them. So we find many places where the Chachamim gathered together and were trying to reconcile certain difficulties in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, and in the Psukim. So Nitna Lehem Baskol Min HaShemayim, once they were up in this attic of Beis Gurya, and a voice, a Baskol, rang out for Shemayim V'Omer and said, Yesh b'chem adam echad, there is amongst you one person who is actually Roi Shetishra Shechina Olav. He's worthy to be a Navi. Why is he not a Navi? Nebuch, Ella She'en Doro Royal Lekach. You get what you deserve. If the people are deserving of having a Navi, then they have a Navi. When people say, oh, the Gedolim of our time, they're not like the Gedolim of previous years, they're really denigrating themselves, not the Gedolim. They're basically saying, well, you don't deserve to have a Gadol like what you think is the Gadol from the previous generations. So too over here, this person that was up there in the attic, this Tana who was up there in the attic, we'll see in a moment who it was, he was worthy of being a Navi. But Nebuch, the generation, wasn't deserving of having a Navi, and therefore, Elo She'en Doro Royal Lekach, and therefore, that's why he's not a Navi. Who was up there? Hillel HaZaken was up there, the great Hillel. And everybody said, oh, that's who the Baskol is talking about. When Hillel died, Ukshemes, so they made unbelievable hespedim about him, hispiduo, and they said about him, hey, chassid, hey, onav, we've lost this great chassid, we've lost this great onav. Warren Brachos goes through a great detail why these people were called on the hesped, a chassid and an onav. These were people that were unbelievably humble. They davened in the same place all the time because they realized that their tefillos needed the other tefillos that were there to schlep them towards Shemayim better. They were very humble and great people. Hey, chassid, hey, onav. Talmido shel Ezra. This Hillel HaZaken was the equivalent of Ezra, who was the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu brought Klai Yisrael the Torah, and Ezra brought us, again, with the second base of Mikdash. And now Hillel, he was Zolcha, he would have been worthy to go and be like Ezra. Unfortunately, the generation kept him down. Another time, the Chachamim were sitting up in Yavne in an attic and figuring out various things. And again, a Baskol came down, Nitalem Baskol min Hashamayim, that said, V'yomer lehen, told them, Yeish b'chem odom echod shuray shetish roshchin olav elishen doro zakoyin lekach. Again, there's a person here who's worthy of being a Navi, but unfortunately the generation is not deserving of it, and that's why he's held back from being a Navi. And who was this? So Nasnu a name, they looked around, and this was Bishmul HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan is one of the reasons called Shmuel HaKotan, as opposed to Shmuel HaNavi, who is Shmuel HaGadol. But others explain he was called Shmuel HaKotan because he was so humble. He was really great, and he called himself, so to say, Shmuel HaKotan. He minimized himself, and that's why he was so great. Knew when Nebuch, he died, Ukshemes, likewise his biduah, they also gave him the same hesped like they said for Hillel HaZaken. Hey, Anav, hey, Chassid, Talmido shel Hillel. Here they compared him to being a Talmud of Hillel, just like Hillel is said to be like a Talmud of Ezra, who was a Talmud of Moshe. So they're going along in this idea how great he was. He was a chassid, he was an honor, the Talmud of Hillel. And Av, who am I b'shas misaso? And here, when Shmuel HaKotan died, and there's some stories in the Gemara about how great Shmuel HaKotan was, what did he do? He was the one that wrote the paragraph La Moshinim in the Shmoneh Esrei because nobody else could do this without having anger or having a personal vendetta. So he was able to do that. So Shmuel HaKotan was really great. So in his death, he actually prophesied. And what did he say at his death? He said, Shimon v'Yishmol. This is talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel and Rabbi Yishmol Kohen Gadol, as Rashi tells us over here. So he said, L'charbot, Nebuch, they're going to die. Shasidin li'orig b'charif. Now, Rashi points out, in the previous Rashi, Shimon v'Yishmol, he says that they were haraktam malchus yovan, that the Greeks killed them. Now, this doesn't fit in with anything, because this was during the time of the Romans, well after the Greeks were long gone. So, Baruch Hashem, I saw in the Masifta, he brings down that Rashi's original girsa was malchus harishah, and then the censors must have taken that out, because some say it was actually written Malchus Romi there, and they inserted Malchus Yovan. But this is referring to the Romans. Even Rashi, somebody corrected the Girsa, the censors corrected the Bastam of the Girsa in Rashi from Malchus Rishah, from Malchus Romi, and they changed it to Malchus Yovan. Yeah, but we find many places in the Gemara. I mentioned the other day the Chesorda Sashas. So this is not in the Chesorda Sashas, but this is in the Masifta. He brings it down in the name of various earlier sources. In any event, so he prophesied that Nebuch, Rosh Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel would be killed as the Asaruge Malchus. There were two of the Asaruge Malchus, the Chabroi Liktola, and also others of the Asaruge Malchus would be killed. And Rashi tells us, who is this referring to? This is Kigon Rabbi Akiva, Nebuch, Shesarku, Besarab, Mesrekos, Pipio, Shalbarzel. Nebuch's skin was flayed, and he died saying the Shema Yisrael, he died with Echad, and the Gemara Brachas taught us about this, and Rabbi Hanani ben Tirajom, that also Nebuch was Nisraf with the Sefer Torah in his hands, and Rabbi Yehuda Mababa, who was pierced with 300 piercings of spears. 300 is a guzma, we always use that lashon, but these people, Nebuch, were killed as part of the Asarugu Malchus. And as well, Ushar Amal Aviza, he prophesied that Nebuch, the rest of Klai Yisrael, will be destroyed. But Okon, Sagin, Asidin, Lemesel, Amal. And Nebuch, terrible things are going to happen to Klai Yisrael. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that they will be totally destroyed. We have Avtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will never be totally destroyed. But Nebuch, he prophesied, unfortunately, only too accurately about these tragedies before Klai Yisrael. Furthermore, V'af al Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Bikshul Omar, they wanted to say the same thing about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. If it wasn't for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it says the Torah would have been forgotten. So he continued the tradition of smicha by giving smicha to five of his Talmidim, and he did this at the Nebuchadnezzar, giving up his life to do so, because the Romans forbade anybody to give smicha, and he did this in a place, in a way, that it wouldn't cause anybody else to be killed, because the Romans said they're going to do collective punishment. If any city that he gave smicha, the whole city would be destroyed. So he went out to a place that wasn't near any city, he went out to the Midbar, and he went to a place where he, and only he alone, would be culpable. And he gave smicha to five of the Talmidim, and he told them to run away, and they ultimately killed Yehudim and Bava. Now, they wanted to say about him the same type of hesped, hey chasin, hey anav. However, they couldn't do so. Elisha nitivo shah, it wasn't a good time. She'ein maspidim al harugim malchus. As Rashi points out, they couldn't give a hesped about somebody that the government killed. They emas hamelev, because they were afraid of the king. If everybody gave him great hesped, then they would say that they were rebelling. Lefikach michu biyadim. They weren't able to go and give the hespedim for Yehudim Bava that they ideally would have liked to have given. He was an unbelievably great Tana. In fact, whenever it says chasid echad, so the Chacham tell us that it means Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Both were unbelievably great people. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, Mishchar Beis HaMikdash Batel HaShomer v'chule. So the Shomer no longer was in existence. So what is that? So Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa tells us the following. Shomer Shebo Bana Shlomo Es Beis HaMikdash. The Shomer was essential for Shlomo Melech to build the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samaches tells us how he acquired the Shomer. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll learn it pretty soon. So the Gemara tells us where we know the Shinemai, because it says, V'abayis B'banoso Evin Shlomo Maso Nivna, that the stones that were used in the Beis HaMikdash couldn't be cut with metal implements, and therefore they had to be cut with the Shamir. And the Gemara tells us, Hadvarim Kirsavan, which Rashi tells us, Kimashman, Evin Shleima Masa, they came as a large stone, Kamashisiyah Minaart, that they quarried out from the mountain, below Siswa Shuv B'Kli Barzel, and they weren't allowed to go and chisel it with Kli Barzel, because Barzel represents war, and the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent peace, therefore it was inappropriate. So therefore, the Shamir would go and cut it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Only Rabbi Nechemi disagrees with Yehuda. The Chiyav Shalom Arkein, how can you possibly say that they didn't use metal implements? The Pasuk tells us, this is a Pasuk from Malachim, Aleph, where it says, Kol Eila Avonim Yikaros V'Gomer Migororos Bamigera. The whole Pasuk is as follows. Kol Eila Avonim Yikaros Kimidos Ngozis Migoros Bamigera Vibayis Umichutz. So it tells us that it was metal implements used on it. So how can you say that it wasn't? So first of all, the Gemara says, Im Kain, if what you're saying is true, so then how do you understand Matamud Lomer? How do you understand the previous passage that we just brought down, Matamud Lomer, Lo Nishma Babayas Bibanoso, that they didn't hear him? So the answer that the Gemara says to reconcile this seemingly steer is show you masakin mibachotz. They didn't hear it in the Beis HaMikdash. They took care of it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and then umachtis within, and only afterwards they brought it inside. So that's how you reconcile the steer according to Nechemia. No, how do we paskin, so to say? So I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe tells us, near and dear Rebbe Yehuda b'yavni mikdash, the words of Yehuda that they didn't use the stones to be cut even with metal implements, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, that seems to be right according to Rabbi's opinion that Rabbi Yehuda was right. However, v'divrei Rabbi Nechemia, the words of Rabbi Nechemia are right, but avnei beiso, he built his own house and he chiseled things there with metal implements outside the Beis HaMikdash. No, the Gemara says, why then would Rabbi Nechemia need the Shamir? According to Rabbi Nechemia, you don't need the Shamir. Rabbi Nechemia, Shamir l'may asa, if you're allowed to go chisel outside the Beis HaMikdash, so why would you need the Shamir? So the Gemara says, you need it for the following brisa. The brisa tells us that yes, there were certain stones that weren't allowed to have any chiseling done on them because they had to be complete. And when you chisel, when you try to engrave on a stone, you're going to cut away some of the stone. So avonim halalu, such as the stones that were on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, the 12 Abnei Shoam and the Abnei Miluim. So avonim halalu ain't kosid osam bidyo. They couldn't write on them with ink. Mishum shenema, the pasuk says, pituchei chosam. They have to be engraved in them like a ring. The ain misartin aleim b'izemel, and they couldn't use a chiseling type of a tool like an izemel, some sort of a cutting tool. Mishum shenema, because the pasuk says, b'milu or something. You're not allowed to cut away any of it. Ella, what would they do? Kosev aleim bidyo. They would put ink on the top of it. That wouldn't be a problem of doing that. It wouldn't accomplish that they have to be engraved the names on them, but there's no problem with outlining with ink what needed to be eventually cut away, and they would then put the shamir on it. Umar len shamir mibachutz. The shamir would see the writing, and Akosh Baruch Hu gave the shamir the intelligence to know that that's where it's supposed to break open these stones, and that's how you would chisel it in without removing any of the stone itself. And that would break exactly along the lines that they put the ink there, And that's how you got the names of all the Shvatim and the other things that had to be written on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol and the Avnei Shoham. So therefore, that was done in this fashion, even according to Rav Nechemia, using the Shamir. Now, this is like the Shamir work, kite'enazu, like a date, shenifkas b'mosachama, that it's split on its own, so to say, from the heat, the ena chaser klum, but none of the date is missing. It just breaks open, but none of the date is actually missing. Ukebika, and like a valley, zushinikbas b'mosa geshami. In the cold, the rocks will crack and they'll split open. The ena chaser klum, but they're not missing anything. That's how the shamir worked. We quote another brayse, the Tanur Rabbanan, shamir zeh. This shamir, biriyaso kisora. It starts off as a very, very small creature, the size of a very small barley, kisora. It was one of the things that was created on Erev Shabbos, the 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos. We have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that tells us this. So it was created as a special creation on Erev Shabbos. The ain called Dover Kosha Yoho Lamo Bifonim. It is the able to go and penetrate even a diamond. Diamond is the hardest thing in the world. It can penetrate anything hard. Nothing can withstand the Shamir's cutting through it. Now, but man, Mishamir, so if it can cut through anything, how are you able to keep it from escaping? How did Shlomo Melech go and retain it so that it shouldn't break away? So the Gemara in Gittin tells us, and we bring it down over here, karkon so bisfugin shel tzemer. Somehow, if you put it inside wool, sfugin shel tzemer, pieces of wool, uminichin so biitni shel avar, and you put it then inside some sort of a tube of lead, meleya sube, that had within it also subin, which is like barley bran, so you were able to go and contain the shamir and it wouldn't escape. Very fascinating, miraculous creation. Marketitis says, "Amar Ravami, Mishachar Beis Hamikdash Rishon, when the Nebuch, the first Beis Hamikdash, was destroyed, Batla Shira Parnda and Uzuchuchas Levana. These two very expensive items no longer existed. They were created for great people. And Nebuch, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the people weren't so great. So HaKadosh Baruch said, there's no reason for me to give such great things to people of lesser stature. What exactly are this Shira Parnda? This is some sort of a silk, and Zuchuchas Levana is a very, very fancy type of crystal or glass that is white. So the Brisa says the same thing as Rav Ami. Again, we mentioned many times that Amoraim didn't necessarily know all the Brisas. You'll never find Tnan Nami Hochi, you just find Tanya Nami Hochi. The Mishnais they all knew. That was the entrance exam to be an Amora. You have to know all the Mishnais, but the Brisas they didn't necessarily know. Tanya Nami Hochi, this Brisa supports what Rav Ami said. Mishachar Mikdosh Visho, when Nebuch, the first Mesa Mishnah was destroyed. So Bot Lo Shira Pranda, this certain type of silk was no longer in the world. Some suggest that it still was there, but just extremely rare. Uzchus Levana, and this white crystal was also taken away, and also as well, the Rechev Barzo, these iron chariots also no longer were in existence. And others add, V'yeshomer, the Braisa tells us, Af Yayin Korush Haba Misnir. This also very, very fancy, congealed type of a wine that came from the place called Snir, which was Hadome Kigule Dvela. It was so thick, it was like cakes of these pressed figs. The Gule Dvela that we speak about in many places in Shas, all of these are very, very expensive, very, very fancy things, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them away almost entirely from the world because the world no longer deserved having them. Let me quote the Mishnah again. It says, also, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Nofes Tzufim, this Nofes Tzufim was taken away. What is this? My Nofes Tzufim. So I mentioned previously, and here's where I got it from. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, this is Soles Shetzof Agabi Nofa. The first interpretation is from Rav that tells us it was a very, very fine flour that even the sieve wouldn't keep it, allow it to sift through. It was so wonderful. And it would stay on the top of the sieve. It was thick, even though it was extremely fine, and it was like it had been a dough that had been kneaded with both dvash, honey, and shemen oil. The Levi Amar, Levi said, it was shtei kikaros hanidbakos b'tanur. It was two loaves of bread that had been put into the walls of the oven. That's how they would bake them. V'sofchos, and they would swell up. Uvos achem yigil zulazu, and they would come close to each other because they swelled up. V'rishuah, but Levi Amar, he says, that dvash haba min hatzifiyah. Others have the girsa min hatzofim, as the Mesor Shasas tells us. So it was a certain type of honey that came from the tzofim, a certain type of mountain or a certain place. My mashma, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, kidimatagim Rav Sheshis, that's the girsa that we have. Again, the Mesor Shasas has the girsa, kidimatagim Rav Yosef. Both Rav Sheshis and Rav Yosef were both blind, and they didn't learn Torah Shebichsav as much because they felt they weren't allowed to. Torah Shebichsav has to be something that you see and read from inside, and they were both blind. So they became expert on Targum Onkelos, which was the way that they would learn the Torah Shebichsav, by reading and hearing the Targum Onkelos. So they therefore were experts. So Kedem Targum, either Rav Sheshis or Rav Yosef, that it says, Keman Dinitzon Debriyasa, like the bees would go and come up v'shaiton v'rume alma and fly up to the height of the world. So umasyon duvsha umeis beitura, and they would go bring honey from these high places, from the flowers and the growths that were on these high places. So again, we have this idea that it was a very, very fancy either flour or it was some sort of a dough or some sort of honey. That's what Nofet Sufim, this fantastically great thing, no longer was present. Mark continues, says, Tanots, we learned in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Machshirin, that tells us, Kol Anitzok Tar, that normally when you have something that's being poured from vessel A into vessel B, so the stream that's flowing from it, if you had Tumah in vessel B, it won't go back up and go into vessel A. With the exception of chutz mi dvash zifim, this dvash from zifim, because that was such a thick thing, so the tumah could go back above it, vatzapichim, and as well, this dvash that came from tzofia or tzipia. So this was such a thick thing that it allowed the tumah to be transmitted via the flow that was going from vessel A into vessel B. Amar Yochanan, Yochanan answers that he says, Devash the Mezaifim, but it was so thick, you could add various other ingredients into it, like water or wine, and nobody would notice that it had been mixed in with something other than honey. It was so thick, it retained its thickness even after you added water or wine to it. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, Al Shem Mekomo. No, there was a place called Zofim, as we just said. As the Pasuk says, Zif Vatelem Uva'alos. There were these places called Zif, that's Zif, Zifim or Tzofim, and Telem and Balos. So these were places that are mentioned in Yehoshua. Now, we have a similar machlokas elsewhere. Chayosi v'dover ato omer, when the pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk from Tehillim, bevo ha-zifim, v'yom l'shol, halodov v'gomer, when the zifim came and they told Shol, so the Gemara asks, who are these zifim that the pasuk in Tehillim tells us about? My zifim. So Rav Yochanan tells us, b'nei adam ha-mizayfin divrem. These are people that lied. They falsified what they were saying. It's analogous to the honey that was so thick that you could falsify it. You could put water and wine into it and not recognize that it had been adulterated in some way. Alternatively, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Al Shem Mekomam. No, there was a place called Zifim. That was the name of the place. Kiddushim, Zif V'Telem Uva'olos. Then we quote the Mishnah, Upaskol Anshei Amona, they no longer were people that were tremendous believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Yitzchak tells us, El B'nei Adam Shei Ma'aminim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are people that had tremendous belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the time, as we learn the Brisa, Rabbi Gadol Omer, Rabbi Lezer Gadol tells us, Kol Mi She'esh Lo Pas Masalo, if somebody has bread in his house, in his basket, enough for one day, and nevertheless, he says, Omer, mo'al chalamocha, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Such a person is miktani emuna. Eino elo miktani emuna. You should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And behind the Domer of Elazar, this is what Elazar tells us. What does the pasuk mean when it says, Ma'i dechsid, this pasuk from Zechariah that tells us, ki mi vaz liyom kitanos, people are not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They mean mevaze HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these small things. So mi goram tzadikim, who causes tzadikim, she is baz mi shulchanam le'osid lavo, that they're going to have less on the table in the world to come. It is this idea that the Ketani Amuna, Kadno Shayo Behen, Shalom Heminu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them everything. So they lower themselves. Rava gives a different understanding. Rava Mar, Elu Ketane B'nei Rishi Yisrael. These are the children of Nebuch Rishayim, who are taken away earlier. And we turn to Memtesam and Aleph. As Rashi said, they died when they were young. Shemavazim Din Aviyah L'Oselo. They go, as Rashi tells us over here, the top Rashi, Korin Din Aviyah, and they would rip up the decree against their parents. Kishe Boyin Lidunam, Omrim Lefanav, when their parents would be brought to be judged, so we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gemara now tells us, Omrim Lefanav, they would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'achar She'ata Osid Lipar Mehen, since you're eventually going to judge our parents, so then you should go take into the leniency into account, Lo Mehi Keso Shineyem Bam, you took us away from them. That should be the punishment they should have. As Rashi says, Lo Mehi Hevaltem, why did you make them Avelim, Betzaratem, and you caused them such tsar, by us dying. So you already punished them, so don't punish them anymore. That's what the children will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's Shir. Tomorrow, we finish off this unbelievable Masechta. Have a great day.